Scripture reading for this evening, you can find in the letter to the Romans at chapter 12. He mentioned to you Romans chapter 12, but before we all do confession of our faith with the words of the 12 articles, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless, and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower state. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast revealed thyself in thy word as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in thee there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. And Lord, thou hast created us in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And at the end of creation, thou could also look upon that crown jewel of thy creation, man, and thou could say, behold, it is very good. But Lord, thou art looking down upon us in this evening, as we have gathered together in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, thou seest who we are. We are born totally depraved, dead in sins and trespasses. And we hunger, but not for thee. We thirst, but not for thee. We only hunger and thirst for self, for sin, for the world, to satisfy our own flesh by nature. We need thy renewing grace. We need thee to pass us by and say, live. We need thee to give that new life, to translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, where we become, in that school of grace, students. Students who learn that there's sin and nothing more, and yet have a heart that long to serve thee as a prophet, a priest, and a king. Oh, we beg thee, thou who art that great prophet, that high priest, and that eternal king, that thou would work among us, that thou would seek and save sinners, that they may be delivered from the power of sin and be enrolled as soldiers, Christian soldiers, under thee, that great captain, and that they may be fighting against all sin and evil and against their own flesh, and that they may become little prophets, little priests, to sacrifice everything unto thee and to become also a king, to fight against sin, but to serve thee willingly. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then we need that free and sovereign grace to look upon us and to renew us, but also to guide us and keep us and lead us day by day. Lord, without thee there is no life. It's all death. Oh, we beg thee, then rend the heavens, come down among us and work mightily, irresistibly, and teach and lead and guide. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, do it for thy great name's sake, and for us and our children, for our eternal welfare. And Lord, we beg thee then in tonight, as we consider what is a true Christian from thy word. Oh, wilt thou give that each one may examine himself and lay our hearts next to thy word, and that thou would witness with thy spirit, with thy children, that they are thy children, that they are recipients of grace, and yet may they feel how poor we are, how little we serve thee as a prophet, a priest, and a king, and how worthy thou art to be served with our whole being, with all our strength, with all our might, with our whole being. Look upon us then in mercy, Lord. We beg and ask thee that thy children may grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there may be more hatred for sin, more hungering and thirsting for righteousness, more zeal for thy honor, for thy glory, more living in the world but not of the world, that they may be a witness, a light in this dark world for thy name's sake. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, give life and give a revival and guide and lead thy dear people. We pray and ask thee, Lord, then to look down upon us in mercy. and give those blessings that we cannot give ourselves. Give those blessings that only come unto unworthy sinners upon the merits of thy dear Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would give, that hearts of stone may be taken away and hearts of flesh may be given, and that those who have a heart of flesh may be taught, led, stripped of self, and filled with thee and thyself. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would come among us and work mightily, irresistibly. Thou who art that almighty God, thou hast passed by Matthew, sitting dead in sins and trespasses, and thou hast said, "Follow me," and he arose and followed thee. Oh, we beg thee that thou would come with that same power by thy word and spirit, and that thou would speak, and that sinners may hear, and that they may have life, and that hearts may be broken, that a people may become willing in the day of thy power to serve thee, to honor thee, to glory thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou art so worthy that this whole congregation, that we would all have a heart longing with zeal to worship thee. Oh, may we beg thee then come mightily. Thou hast saved 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and thou art that same almighty God of heaven and earth. Come then and do wonders for thy name and for our eternal soul. Lord, we ask that thou would then remember us in this week, all that is planned, also the consistory meeting tomorrow night. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, help us, guide us, lead us. Thou hast called us to these offices as an elder, as a deacon, but also as an under-shepherd. And we are sinful men. We need thy leading, thy guiding by thy Spirit and by thy word. Oh, Lord, help us then. Send help from the sanctuary, and that we may follow thee, and that all our decisions may be according to thy will and in thy favor. Lord, remember then also the government thou hast set over us in this nation. Oh, we beg thee, give God-fearing men, God-fearing leaders to rule this nation, men who desire to begin each day upon their knees and needing thee, needing wisdom from above, and that thy word may be a guide in all their decisions. We beg and ask thee, Lord, that thou would yet thrust out more laborers into thy vineyard. Lord, there are so many vacant congregations, so many pulpits that do not have an under-shepherd, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And Lord, thou hast taught and instructed us in thy word that we are to pray unto thee, that thou would thrust out laborers. May we ask thee, Lord, in thy mercy, give that in this coming year that many may be accepted, and may we thank thee that we may have 2 students in our denomination. Help them, guide them, lead them. Help the instructors also as they prepare for another season. Lord, remember all those also who have hidden crosses, who have deep wounds because of abuse in different ways. Help them, Lord. Give healing. Give what is needed, and remember them in thy mercy. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, if there are those among us who are living in such wicked acts, oh, we beg thee that thou would bring them to repentance, and that they may flee from such sin and evil. And that we may be a congregation, but also as families and as neighbors, that we may be loving one another, caring for one another, but especially that we may be praying for one another, that we may bear one another's burdens, that we may weep with those that weep, and that we may have joy with those who have joy. Oh, give love among us, that true love. Oh, fill our hearts, Lord, with thy love, and that our hearts may overflow with love because of thy love. We ask that thou would remember those who are expecting a child. Care for that baby in the womb. Remember the mothers. Give them strength. Remember those who desire to have children, and yet thou hast not given. Oh, give grace to carry this cross, and we beg thee that in thy time, and if it is in thy will, that also those may also have a child. But may we especially seek that one child that was born in Bethlehem, and that he may give that comfort in life, in death, and everything that we miss, that we may find that fullness that is in him. Lord, we pray that thou would then remember us as families. Care for us. Give God-fearing parents. And give that we may live according to what we have promised in baptism, to raise our children to the utmost of our power in the truths of thy word. Bless thy word, the means of grace, that we may use in our homes. Remember us as husbands and wives. Give faithfulness. Give love for one another. Remember those who struggle in their marriages. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would kindle that flame of love and that thou would help them. We pray, remember those who long to be married, who are seeking a partner. Provide. Remember those who are dating. Guide them, keep them, and protect them, that they would not fall into sin. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. And we beg thee especially again, each time that we gather in thy house is a new time. Each time we need thy presence, we need thy help to preach and to listen. And we need that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit to bless and to apply thy precious word. O Lord, come then, blow mightily by thy Holy Spirit, and that tonight it may be a good hour in thy house. Take away all the obstacles and hindrances. Take away all the distractions, and that we may be given to preach, thus saith the Lord, and that we may be able to hear the Lord is speaking. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. Look upon us, hear us, answer us, because of those merits of thy dear Son, because of his righteousness, because of his blood, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 429. All four stanzas. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation. Before the gods with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. I'll worship toward thy holy place, and for thy grace and truth extol thee. Above thy name, thou Lord Most High, didst magnify thy word so holy. Psalter 429. All stanzas in the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second the same as this morning. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. dear congregation, we have meditated upon the names Jesus and Christ, the significance of these names and the purpose of his coming. We have heard of the precious work of Jesus Christ, that he seeks and saves lost sinners. Remember what the name Jesus means? Why did God the Father give his Son the name Jesus? What is he expressing? With that name, he's expressing Jehovah saves. So we hear that Jehovah saves. But we also hear how Jehovah saves through Christ. Christ, who was anointed and appointed to be that prophet, priest, and king. And a true Christian is one who has been sought and saved by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that second person in the Trinity. They have been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. He found them dead in sins and in trespasses. And their hope of salvation is only in him. They are a new creature. They are made a complete new creature. Their whole being has radically been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are they perfect? No. They still sin. They still fight against sin, the world, Satan, and against their own flesh. And I have a question for you, a personal question for each and every one here tonight. Are you a Christian? If somebody asked you, are you a Christian, what would your answer be? Are you born again? Have you repented of all your sins? And do you also have true saving faith in Jesus Christ? Have you been translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom by the power of God, of the free and sovereign grace, into the kingdom of his dear Son? Are you a Christian? Are you a member of Christ by faith? You don't need to answer to me. It's a very personal question. To be a Christian is to follow Christ. But it's not only to follow him in an outward way, because we know in John 6 that many followed Christ in an outward way. And what do we read in that chapter? That they left him. But others could not leave him. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So what is it to be a true follower of Christ? What is it to be a true Christian? Today in North America, more people than ever claim to be a Christian, and less pray, less go to church, less read their Bible. It's not enough to call yourself a Christian or to think you're a Christian. It's not enough to talk like a Christian. It's not enough to live like a Christian. You need to be a true Christian in your very heart. I think of Judas. Did the disciples think, Judas, no, he's not a Christian? No. To be a true Christian, we must be born again. We must have that grace of true repentance and true faith. We must become members by God's grace of Jesus Christ. I read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Members of Christ. And we read in Ephesians 5 verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. That's a true Christian. All those who are born again, all those who repent of all their sin and to believe in Jesus Christ, they are his members. He made them members of him by his grace. They are his disciples. They begin to follow him. They begin to long for him, serve him. And they belong to him. Remember what we started with, the Heidelberg Catechism, what is that only comfort in life and in death? That's to belong to that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. A person who believes in Jesus Christ is called a true Christian. Jesus Christ and Christians are one. They cannot be separated. He's the head and they're the body. He's the vine and they're the branches. They live out of him. He's the bridegroom and they are the bride. A person who believes in Jesus Christ is not only called a Christian, but he or she is called to be living like Christ. Christ is the light, and they are to live as a light in this dark world. But there's something more. Yes, there's more. Jesus Christ was ordained, and he was anointed to be what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, to be that prophet, priest, and king. And all the members of Christ, all those true believers, all those true Christians, all those little lambs and sheep of the Good Shepherd receive his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured on Christ, and they also receive the Holy Spirit. Their bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And they are all, so to speak, anointed. Anointed to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. That doesn't mean that all those who are true believers will have an office in the church. No, it doesn't mean that women will have an office in the church, but each Christian, each woman, each man, each boy, each girl are called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as a prophet, a priest, and a king in their individual life. And they are to do this with joy. Yes, it's a joyful service. The Lord called them, appointed them to this very work. Listen to what we read in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so tonight, we will consider, what is a true Christian and how they are called to serve Christ as a prophet, priest, and king? And so with connection of that, we will read Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32. And you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 40. Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32. But why art thou called a Christian? And now listen, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. So the theme this evening, with the Lord's help and blessing, the true Christian is a member of Christ. The true Christian is a member of Christ. And as a member of Christ, a Christian is called to serve the Lord as, our first point, as a prophet, a second point, as a priest, and the third point, as a king. My friend, are you a true Christian? Christian, are you a member of Jesus Christ? So our first thought, they are called to serve Christ as a prophet. We read in the question 32, but why art thou called a Christian? The instructor suddenly turns, it seems like, from Christ, from Jesus in Christ, to focus on the Christian. It seems as if he puts, may I say it, Christ aside, and now he's only going to focus completely, entirely on the Christian. But congregation, you can never separate those two. You see the word name Christ in the name Christian. They're together, they're one. The question is, why do they call you a Christian? You who are God's children, you who are members of Christ by faith, why are you called a Christian? This question clearly shows us that there is a relationship between Christ and his members. What is Christianity? Is Christianity religion? No, Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship. We were born in a broken relationship, and Jesus Christ seeks and saves and brings back into a relationship. The question is, what is this relationship? What is this relationship with the Christian and with Christ? Preaching about Jesus Christ is not just presenting themes or presenting different words from the Word of God. The preaching of the gospel, law and gospel, has a purpose. What's the purpose? That God and sinners would be reconciled, that they would be brought back into a right relationship. God sends out ambassadors to preach the word of God. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5, be ye reconciled with God. What is the relationship between Christ and a Christian? Well, to explain the relationship between Christ and the Christian, we must consider what Christ has done. Everything he has done is for the glory of his Father. Everything he has done is for his church. He did it for them. And Christ's work is applied by the power of the Holy Spirit in the time of God's good pleasure in his beloved people, chosen from eternity. What happens in this time? When God looks upon a sinner lost in the blood, cast out, totally depraved, well, they're born again. He gives new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The sinner is made from spiritual death to spiritual life. He is delivered from that power of sin and Satan, brought out of that bondage. Yes, sin still reigns. Satan still attacks, and their flesh is weak, but they're broken from that bondage, brought into the kingdom of Christ. And by the grace received, they begin to repent and they begin to believe. By the work of God, by God's grace, an eternal bond, an eternal relationship is made between Christ and a sinner. The sinner was adopted in eternity, adopted, chosen, and in time saved, regenerated, and brought into a relationship, brought to become a member of Christ by faith. And so without that free and sovereign grace, there is no Christian, there is no hope, we're all lost. Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this work, sent by the Father as the prophet, priest, and king. And Christ gives every one of his members his Holy Spirit. Read 1 John 2 verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. They have an unction. They have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, each and every single one of those members. And by receiving the Holy Spirit, they're not only made alive, but they're also given a task. They're given a work to do for the glory of God. They are called to be a prophet, a priest, and a king in their sphere of life. Let's read the question and part of the answer of 32 again. But why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name. That so I may confess his name. Do you call yourself a Christian? Do you confess to be a Christian? If someone had asked you, are you a Christian? Do you confess, I'm a Christian? Well, may I ask you, do you live as a true Christian? Do you live as a prophet, as a little prophet in your life? Are you seen and heard by others that live around you? That you are a member of Christ. Do you live as a prophet, as a little prophet? What does a prophet do? A prophet teaches. A prophet speaks. You hear by the words of what he says, of who he is. And when someone speaks, you hear what he thinks. A Christian is called to speak. A prophet speaks, and a Christian speaks. What is he called to speak about? He's called to speak about the truth of God. The whole truth of God, from creation, from Genesis to Revelation, of salvation, of the truth who we are, dead in sins and trespasses, totally depraved, also called to speak of who the Savior is. They are called to open their mouth, to speak to others, to their neighbors, to their family. A Christian. Where do we read that name in the Bible? Those in Antioch, those true believers, those followers of Jesus Christ were the first ones who were called Christian. The name Christian was given to those who followed Christ because Christ and a Christian belongs together. The people in Antioch saw those true believers, those true sheep of the Good Shepherd. They saw by how they lived. They saw and listened to how they talked. They knew they were followers of Jesus Christ. Their life was a testimony. No, they didn't only speak and how they lived and how they worked and how they lived in school and in their life testified against it. It wasn't a contradiction. No, by what they spoke and how they lived, it was together. It corresponded. They listened. They showed their life as a little tiny prophet speaking of Jesus Christ, of who he is for a wretched sinner. Their life was a little reflection of him who is the true life. That is to be your life. You who confess to be a Christian, you are to be a little prophet. And you don't need an office as a deacon or as an elder, as a minister. No, each and every one of the recipients of God's grace, male or female, are called to be a prophet. May I ask you, do you confess what you believe? But do you confess the name of Jesus Christ to others? Or do they ask you something and you say, no, I don't want to confess that name? Listen. Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You must confess, but also according to your flesh, live. The Christian is saved entirely by God's grace, and he has set apart, chosen as a peculiar people to be a Christian. Is the greatest joy on this earth, but it also has a responsibility, or may I say, it has a consequence. They are called to show with their life of what God has taught them in their heart, but also all the truth of God's word. Are you a Christian? Can other people see those you go to college with? Those you go to school with, those you work, that person, that boy, that girl, that teenager, that adult, that's a Christian. I can see it. I can see it by how they work. I can see it by how they act. Do your neighbors know this? Do those who work with you? Or do they say they go to church? I know they go to church. But really? Is that the life of a Christian? Is that it? I want nothing to do with it. Does your life cause others to give a bad name upon the great name above this church? No, it's not the NRC. No, it's Christ. Are you a Christian? Are you living a Christian life as a prophet? When Christ saves a sinner, he gives them a work. No, they're not slaves, but he's given them a work, a joyful work to serve him. He calls them to confess. And now listen, this warning in Matthew 10, verse 32 for 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Are you a Christian? Are you confessing his name? Are you a little prophet for the glory, for the honor of Jesus Christ? Christians are called to live as a prophet for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ. No, they don't need to speak about self. No, they are called to speak about him for his honor, for his glory. God's children are called to be prophets, to teach the truths of the word of God, the truths of the way of salvation for wretched sinners, that others may hear and put their hope in God, as we hear in Psalm 78. Fathers, speak to your children. Mothers, speak to your children. Teachers, speak to your students. Are you a Christian? Are you a prophet? Is it a joy for you? Is it a joy for you? As the psalmist, Psalm 71, verse 15 and 16, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Are you a Christian? Are you living as a prophet? Or is it all about self, your honor, your glory? And is your mouth closed? Oh, may the Lord work mightily and make, by his free and sovereign grace, little prophets for his honor, for his glory. The second thought, as a member of Christ, a Christian is called to serve the Lord as a priest. A Christian is a member of Christ by faith. And they're not only called to be a prophet, to speak. And you don't only speak with your words, you speak with your actions. But they're also called to be a priest. Let's read the question again. Why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. The priests made many sacrifices, and one sacrifice they also made was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And now think of the great high priest, that great prophet, but also the great high priest, Jesus Christ. He made the greatest sacrifice that was ever made upon this earth. He gave himself. And a Christian, a member of Christ, also makes sacrifices. What type of a sacrifice does a Christian make? Let's read Romans 12, verse 1. Open your Bible, please. Let's read Romans 12, verse 1 again. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Who's he speaking to? To those true disciples, to the true members, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's saying, you have tasted the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service is to sacrifice your life to God. That's your reasonable service, by your being, that you give yourself as a sacrifice. The sacrifice of a Christian is a life of what? Slavish fear? No. It's a life of gratitude, of tasting of the mercy of God and of his deliverance for such a wretch. Out of that heart will come the sacrifice of gratitude. If there is no gratitude, you may put a question behind your confession that you are a Christian. A life of a sacrifice. A life of a gratitude. When it's well in their soul, they want to give everything, everything unto Him. And they see that nothing belongs unto themselves, but it all belongs unto Him who has given Him all things. And they are willing, joyfully, with love to serve, to make sacrifices for Him, for His name, for His service. My friend, are you a Christian? Are you not only a prophet, a little prophet, but also are you a priest? Are you making sacrifices? Are you willing to sacrifice to Him, to serve Him? The heart of a Christian is a living sacrifice unto God to serve Him with love. If our sacrifices, and maybe some can make great sacrifices, give much money or spend much time in the service of many different things, very good things. But if it's not done out of true and saving faith for the glory of God, according to the will of God, but also in love. God delights in loving servants, sacrificing. Is it done in love or not? Listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's quite something. Give all my goods to the poor, and even make that sacrifice, I give my body to be burned. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. There's the principle of that love that's poured in the heart, that breaks that heart. And they begin to serve, to speak, but also to sacrifice unto Him with love. Jesus Christ gave that great sacrifice to make atonement for His sheep, for His members. And a Christian does not give a sacrifice to make atonement, to pay for some of their sins. Not at all. That's not the purpose of their sacrifice. They have nothing to pay. They're poor in spirit, bankrupt. But they give sacrifices of gratitude to the Lord for His mercy, for such unworthy wretches. And that love that He comes and gives to them, it breaks their heart, and they begin to pour out everything unto Him. They give themselves to the Lord to be used in His service. No, not just to become an elder or a deacon or a pastor or a missionary. No, in the daily life that the Lord has placed you to give your life to Him, to serve Him. To serve Him with your money, with everything. To sacrifice your family also if it's necessary. And this sacrifice of a true Christian, it cost Christ everything. It cost Him His life. And He was mocked and ridiculed. And the true Christian that really longs to live in a sacrifice for Christ, it has a cost. We must be honest, it has a cost. Maybe it'll cost you a job. I think of a young man in Bolivia, in Turia, Bernabe. And I believe he has the tender fear of the Lord in his heart. And he's working for a company. And in Bolivia, they have two sets of books. They have one that the government can see, and they're one that is the reality. And they wanted him to change all the books, to make two books, to show one to the government and one that's real, to change all the numbers. So they wouldn't have to pay so much taxes. He said, I can't. They said, you're fired, young man. He lost his job. Would you suffer for the truth? Would you sacrifice even a job? And a job for a Bolivian is life, it's food. We don't understand it, but it's life. Maybe you're going to lose friends if you really want to live for the Lord and sacrifice your life. Because then they come your friends, and the Lord has worked in your heart. And then you want to go to Bible study on Wednesday, and they laugh at you, and they mock you, and you feel it, it hurts. Maybe you'll lose friends, but God will give you new friends. Maybe you'll lose family. Maybe you'll lose other relatives or friends. They want nothing to do with you. Mocking. Are you willing to sacrifice? Sacrifice to serve, to follow, to obey that precious, good Savior, Jesus Christ. Living as a Christian is to live as a true Christian to speak. And yes, you need God's grace every day to have courage and to know you need a spirit to speak. Absolutely. But we can say we need it. But so often our mouth is closed because of self. And it is a life of sacrificing. It requires also to carry our cross, or to carry our crosses and to follow him unconditionally. Do you have crosses in your life? Would you like to just throw them away? No, God, in his wisdom, he lays crosses upon his members. It's good for them. And they take up their cross, and they follow, they sacrifice, they deny self, they give everything to him, because he's so worthy to be served. A disciple, a true disciple, a true Christian, takes their cross and follows Christ, sacrificing. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And what did Peter write to the church suffering in Asia Minor? Listen, 1 Peter 1, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. My friend, are you a Christian? Have you experienced a little drop of the mercy and the goodness of God for you, for such an unworthy wretch? Have you tasted something of the mercy of God? And when a sinner experiences this, their hearts break, and they're willing to sacrifice. They're willing, out of gratitude for that good-doing God that looked upon such a wretch, they're willing to speak for him, and they're willing to sacrifice unto him. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll read verse 8 through 10. Paul was willing to suffer immensely for Christ. He was constrained by the love of Christ. And now listen, we heard a few of these texts this morning, but I'd like to read them again and in the context. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 through 10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Do you hear what Paul says? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He's living in the body. He's suffering. He's sacrificing for the name of Jesus Christ. He's preaching with his suffering. By his suffering, he's preaching. He's giving a picture of the great example, Jesus Christ. He does this through his life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to suffer immensely, as we read in the Word of God, of how much Paul suffered. But with this suffering, he was also making manifest that only good shepherd was so worthy to be served that I'm willing to suffer everything. Because congregation, to have no cross and have no suffering and have no Christ, what is that life? But to have a cross and it to be with Christ, to be with his presence, to taste of his mercy, to taste of his grace, then there's honey in all that suffering, in all that immense suffering and sacrificing. A Christian is called to be a priest, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And by God's grace, day by day, those members speak and those members are willing to make sacrifice. When faith is an exercise and heart is flowing with love and zeal, then they can so willingly give so much. But oh, when faith is weak, when doubts surround, when they're in darkness and hearts are rebelling, oh, then it can be so different. And they live dependent upon the Spirit and the work and the grace of God. And it's only in Him, as Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things for Christ who strengthens me. They need to live close to Him, out of His grace, out of His strength, to be willing to sacrifice day by day. A true member of Jesus Christ is living by Him in faith. They become little prophets speaking, and they become little priests sacrificing for Him, but they also are little kings. What is that? We will consider that in our third thought. But first, let us sing from Psalter 374, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 374, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye His glory abroad. O praise Him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. 374, 1, 2, and 3, standing. My friend, are you a true Christian? Or are you living only for yourself? To serve self, making many sacrifices for your own gain, and speaking many things, but it's all about self? Or are you, by God's grace, have you become a member of Christ? And are you speaking as a prophet about the truth? And maybe it cost you because you spoke. I think of John the Baptist. He lost his head because he spoke against sin. But he'd rather speak the truth than lose the favor of God. And I think of the martyrs, of some that were burnt at the stake, willing to give their own bodies as a sacrifice, then to deny the name of Jesus Christ. And then when we look within, Church of God, how guilty we are, polluted as members of Christ, speak so little, sacrifice so little, because he's so worthy. But they also become little kings, a king to serve him. Let's read question and answer 32 again. But why aren't they called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name. So we see the priest, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. Sorry, the first is a prophet, and now we see the priest. And also that we with a free and good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. And so we see the king, the prophet, the priest, and the king. May I ask you, who's king in your life? Who's king? Children, boys, girls, teenagers, who's king in your life? Are you still king in your life? Do you hear the word of God and your heart says, no, you would never say this out loud, but I will not have this man, referring to the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rule over you. You want to still be your own king. You want to have your own control, live according to your own flesh. And if you die this way, then you will perish. But has Jesus Christ sought you, saved you? Have you learned a little something of who you are and of who he is, of the deliverance? And has your heart been broken and you want to serve him, speak for him, but also to sacrifice for him? But do you also want to serve him with your whole life? With your whole life, Jesus Christ came, sent by the Father, to come to fight against sin and Satan. He came to fight against that great enemy that his people had no power to fight and to conquer, and also of the grave. And Christians, those members of Christ, begin also to live as their good shepherd, their master, their king. He becomes their king, and they reflect in their life also how they begin to fight against the same enemies. They begin to fight against Satan. They begin to fight against sin. They become Christian soldiers enrolled in the school of grace, and they desire to live for their king. And they're enrolled in that army, and they become willing soldiers. No, not unwilling. They pledge allegiance to the king, and they begin to fight, not against him anymore. Not against him anymore. No, they're changed, renewed, and they begin to fight against the same things that he fought against. Are there Christians here tonight? Are there true Christians? Are there those who confess the name of Jesus Christ but also live as a Christian? We need to search our hearts, each and every one of us, but also us as the church of God. Do we fight as we ought to? Do we fight really to resist unto blood against all the sin and evil? Are we willing to sacrifice, pour out our hearts and our life to serve him? Are there Christian soldiers in that battle with broken legs? As Reverend Vogeler used to say, those soldiers only have broken legs because in themselves they see the great enemy and they feel so incapable, and yet they fight on and they fight. No, I don't ask you if you've overcome, because they don't overcome in this life. This whole life is a battle. And it will be until their death. But yet they live when faith is an exercise, longing with love for the king to fight against all sin and evil. How can we identify? How can you know if you are one of those true Christian soldiers that King Jesus is your king, then you fight the same battle as he did, fighting against Satan, fighting against sin. And they're faithful in the battle for and with the king. They need him, they need his grace, they need his spirit, and they fight for him and with him. Is that you? They desire to be as him. And they give their heart to him. May I say it this way very simply? They sign up to be a soldier. They're willingly give it over, willing to surrender all to be one of those soldiers. And are you, am I as Paul? He could come to the end of his life and he could say, I have fought a good fight. Can you say that? Can I say that? Paul could say that because he was faithful. Faithful. Are you faithful? I can't confess that. So many times falling. And yet, maybe look, confess our sin, and take up the cross, and continue in that battle. How can we identify those true soldiers under King Jesus? A true soldier wants to be delivered from the battle. They want to go home. They want to be free from fighting. They want to be free, a soldier. They want to be delivered from the battle. And Jesus Christ had a desire to go home, to conquer, and to go home victoriously, as we read in John 17. And those little kings, sinful kings, polluted kings, kings that they long to serve him as a king because he's so worthy, they also long, if it's well and healthy in their soul, to be delivered and to go home. They're like Paul in Romans 7 verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. A true Christian desires to be delivered from sin, from Satan, and from their own wicked flesh. And they desire to serve the king. The king, willingly, faithfully, but also purely. Because those Christian soldiers on this earth are sinful, have sinful thoughts, sinful words, sinful deeds, and they want to be cleansed. Why? Because that king is so worthy to be served completely, purely, and in perfection. And they desire to be like their king, to have dominion over sin. No, they don't allow sin to live. If it's well, they want to kill it. They want to have dominion over sin. They don't even let the little, smallest sin live. They want to cut it off. They want to kill it. Is this a little illustration of your heart that you want to speak? And sometimes you can't help it. You need to speak. Your heart just flows over. You want to speak to others. You want to speak about the king that's so beautiful, so worthy, altogether lovely. And your heart's just overflowing and you speak. And sometimes you can't help it. Your heart is so broken, you can just give it all. You can give it all to serve that most worthy king. You can give it all. You can give your farm. You can give your family. You can give your life, willing to serve him because he's so worthy, dependent upon him, but also that you want to fight. Fight that good fight. Because of him, for his name, for his honor, for his glory. Do you understand that or not? Do you say, I don't want to speak. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to serve him because it's all about yourself. My friend, are you a true Christian? Or only are you living by a name? Or maybe you say, I don't even call myself a Christian because I know I'm just living for the world, for the flesh. And Church of God, we're polluted. We're polluted priests. We're polluted prophets. We're polluted kings. And we must go home and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come. Blow in my heart. Stir up that life that that there may be more zeal, more love, because thou art so worthy, worthy to be served unto the end. And those soldiers that are under that king, they will be victorious. Why? Because they're such good soldiers? No, not at all. Because of him. Because of him, that captain of salvation, he who said it's finished, who is victorious, conquers in him, as we read in Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Are you a Christian? What is a Christian? A Christian is a member of Christ by faith, sought by him, saved by him, made alive, grace poured in their hearts, they repent of their sin, and they believe in him, and they begin to serve him. And all these different aspects, a little small beginning in this life. But one day, he will come, and he will take them, free them from all sin, from all flesh, and then they will serve him eternally in perfection. And then I like to close with a few verses from Revelation 1, verse 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. They will be redeemed by his blood, by that king, by the Alpha and the Omega. And then they will serve him joyfully, uninterrupted, forever and ever, in joy. No more sin. What a future. My friend, are you a true Christian? Amen. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, may we beg thee, thou who art that one who is sent into this world to take upon thee flesh, to come, to be that anointed one, appointed by the Father to work as that prophet, priest, and king. Oh, we beg thee that thou would work mightily among us and capture sinners. Capture their hearts by thy grace and by thy love, and that they may be made members of thee, that thou would give that gift of faith, and that they may believe in thee. But also, Lord, give unto thy dear people, those dear little lambs and sheep, more zeal, more love, more self-denial, more of a heart that's stirred up for thee, to speak for thee, to sacrifice for thee, to serve thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give more holiness, give more cleansing of that wicked heart, and that there may be that faithful, loving service unto thee. Wash and cleanse us, Lord, of all our many sins, of those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, and who only serve self. Oh, look upon them in mercy, Lord, and give life. But also thy people, we stand polluted, Lord. Who can say, I live as I ought to? Have mercy upon us, cleanse us, and thy all-atoning blood. Be with us also after this service, as we hope to sing together. Give, that it may be with heart and voice. And Lord, may we acknowledge thee, that we've been in thy house today to hear again thy precious word. May it not testify against us, but may it be by thy grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the saving of our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 251, all three stanzas. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. 251, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.